Yeah, yeah. I'm taking my freedom.
Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are 7 pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all 7 areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all 7 areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all 7 areas of life? You got this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm Rebecca Whitman, your host, and we are taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I am coming to you live from sunny Los Angeles, and I am so excited today. We have a special episode, how to thrive during a crisis, with our special guest, Stacy Raske. Stacy, welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. I'm so excited to be here. And I know today's conversation is going to be amazing.
I know. I'm so excited to talk to you. You have such an amazing story. We're going to get into that. But first, let me tell my audience a little bit about all your accomplishments. She is the founder and CEO of Stacy Raske, LLC. She's the founder and CEO of Influential, host of the Influential podcast, best-selling author, decorated Iraq war veteran, hello, badass, ordained minister and spiritual, certified holistic life and health coach, certified emotions mentor, certified Reiki practitioner, certified soul healing facilitator, Anna Robbins Medane's trained coach. You have been a very busy woman getting all these incredible certifications and trainings.
Thank you. It's funny, I forget about that list because I never lead with my credentials. I always lead with my story because I'm just, you know, was my first client and a walking, talking example of doing the work that I teach because I'm a product of my own program. But it is funny. I'm like, oh yeah, I did do all those things.
That's amazing. And I like the range of from fighting in a war to Reiki. I mean, my God, you are one, you're like a diamond. You've got so many shiny facets. So let's get into your story. Tell us a little bit about your origin story and how did Stacy Raske go from where she was many years ago to being a coach and CEO of Influential? We'll talk about why you chose Flow later, but yeah, tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, you know, it's interesting because we think about, you know, especially in military experience, you know, going to war and PTSD and stuff like that, that it's related to our military experience. And that's not the case. Yeah. What happens during our service is just icing on the cake. When you look at the demographics who tend to join the military, we're escaping trauma abuse, instability, lack of boundaries, lack of structure, you know, disconnect, homelessness, like whatever the things are, you know, we're joining the military to get away from those things. So pretty much for pretty much the most concise way to say it is we show up fucked up. Yeah. Right. We bring all of that unhealthy coping, lack of boundaries, inner worthiness wounds with us to into, you know, our time in the service. And that's the place where a lot of us are shaped and molded and really craft our identity. But that's why there's such a predominance of PTSD within the veteran population is
so
looking
you're saying
at
the PTSD starts even before they enroll, and then probably combat and training and everything else just accentuate. So the Army just kind of throws gasoline on the fire of already very damaged people is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the damage. Those of us who are damaged tend to gravitate towards things like that. And yeah, that experience is just icing on the cake of, you know, because in my own trauma recovery and addiction recovery journey, it was really, you know, learning for myself, well, why is it somebody who's experienced Hurricane Katrina or a mass shooting, you know, what defines a person who ends up with PTSD and somebody who doesn't when we've experienced the same traumatic, you know, situation? And that's where it starts, is it's that early coping, that the generational stuff that we learn early in life under the age of 10, mostly under, you know, 6-7 years old, is where we understand how to process our emotions, where we craft, you know, do we talk about thoughts and feelings? And that's not the case.
Not in my house as a kid.
Not in mine either. No. No, it was, you know, I moved a lot. You know, I came from a lot of physical and non-physical violence, alcoholism. You know, my parents were divorced very early. So, you know, kind of all the spectrum of things, not, you know, the worst, not horrible. However, it definitely laid the framework of we didn't talk about things. I didn't have healthy coping. You know, my very first addiction, really, I think all the way back, was the achievement side of things, because that's what I learned love was through performance. Hello.
Oh my God, you're singing my song.
Right? All the recipe ingredients for the recipe of the overachieving, high performer, external validation, needy, all of this, yeah. No boundaries, people pleaser, right? So spend a lifetime wearing the mask of who I should be and playing that role to avoid hurt and rejection, which, you know, obviously we play it out anyway, but do all the shoulds. So after the Army, I got hurt in Iraq, medically discharged, went back to college, got my degree in biology.
Did you get hurt in combat?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. And so what's interesting is, you know, it was doing all the shoulds, even with get the corporate job, get, you know, it's the benefits and it's safe, right? Whatever, all your parents tell you, you got to get the safe job, you know? And so here I am, a pharmaceutical chemist. So that's another part, another facet to the diamond. So yeah, I'm a huge science nerd.
You're a trained pharmaceutical chemist. Wow.
Yes, huge science nerd. My degree's in biology. I love genetics and botany and biochemistry. Super nerd. And that was all part of that. It was just 10 years after I got out, it was this slow decline of consistently numbing out and avoiding because I had no toolkit for my emotions, for the fact that I'm very sensitive energetically, very intuitive, very aware, you know, with all of my spiritual gifts. And I just didn't know what to do with any of it. And so it's just constantly craving the external validation. I numbed out with everything under the sun, the food, drugs, alcohol, work. That's a big one. Social media, television, even at my worst, self-harm, just anything to change how I was feeling in the moment, because I had no capacity to deal with any of it. So if hurting myself is the only way I can distract myself from what I'm feeling, I mean, that's a pretty shitty toolkit.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty bad. So needless to say, it all boiled over at the very end of 2014 when I had my rock bottom moment. And at this point, I'd lost my corporate job because of my health issues between the depression, the anxiety, all of that. I had all these chronic health conditions. My marriage is falling apart. My health is in shambles. and I'm pulling food out of the cabinet. I'm bawling my eyes out, just shoving it in my face and chasing it with a bottle of booze until I have this moment. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Well, for the first time in probably well over a decade, I actually got the answer. And it was, well, Stacy, you're trying to make yourself look as ugly on the outside as you feel on the inside because you hate yourself.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah. And then it was followed by, oh, and by the way, this is all, you made all of this. This is your choices. Mm-hmm. So it was this beautiful bitch slap from spirit on, you know, this kind of ownership moment, like really finally being responsible. And I was constant victim energy. It was everything else. I was trying to control everything that was not mine to control and definitely letting everything else that I could control fall by the wayside. Hence why I was twice what I weigh now. I was double the weight. And that was just one of those variables. And I was just miserable.
How much did you weigh?
Almost 300 pounds.
Oh my God. Almost 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And if you should see her now, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, she is like totally in shape. So that's yes. Incredible.
It was literally the last time I was suicidal was at that moment after that, you know, swallowing that reality of and responsibility of the life that and I created, but more so who I had become. And it was somebody that I truly had no idea who I was. And so I start basically planning my demise. And thankfully, I passed out drunk before I could plan the perfect transition. Thank you. The benefit of being a type A control freak, it wasn't perfect. And it's kind of funny to laugh at it now, but still. So I woke up the next day and I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done. Thank you for a new day and the understanding and awareness of who I'd become. And so that's where I told my trauma therapist, I said, I'm done. I am throwing in the towel on trying to control anything other than myself.
That's great.
And 2015, I flipped the script and lost 100 pounds in 2015 and started the process, started my business, saved my marriage. And it's just been really amazing ever since.
So you're still married.
Mm-hmm.
How many years have you been married?
We just celebrated 19 years in May. So we're heading into our 20, big 20.
That's incredible. He stayed through all that you went through with your food and alcohol and drug addiction. And now he gets the best version of you. I bet he is very grateful you've done all this work on yourself.
Yes. He's a little more grateful now. The first few years, not so much, because like all things, if one person starts leaning into their transformation journey and the other person is not, because misery loves company, and we were extremely codependent. Extremely codependent. And obviously I start making changes that forces him to change to a certain degree. And the resistance and the stubborn and the digging in the heels has been a very long, slow journey. And I'm so grateful that, you know, we've gotten to a place in our relationship where he's excited about doing his own work now. He's excited about being better. He's excited about being very forward-facing and future-focused, which is awesome.
So did he lose a bunch of weight too and also quit drinking and drugs?
No.
Okay.
We are going to be going into, he did decide he's going to go dry after this upcoming trip. So we've got a trip to Vegas coming up this weekend. It's my birthday for Labor Day weekend. And then I think we're going to be completely, completely dry for the rest of the year. And it's just me supporting him because he needed to get to that place in his journey. You know, you can't make somebody stop smoking or drinking or whatever. So I'm grateful that he's getting to that place where he recognizes that that is taking him away from being the best version of himself.
Absolutely. People have got to want to change. I have wasted so many years and hours and just heartaches trying to reform, teach, preach, dragging people to seminars, giving them, you know, tapes and sending YouTube videos. And like, I drove myself crazy and they were like, I'm just not ready to change. So it's just like your epiphany. I love that. It's so much easier just to focus on where we do have power. It's over our own lives and over our own thoughts and over our own actions. And you know, everything else is not within our control. So why waste so much energy and effort like we used to trying to control the uncontrollable? So you wrote a book. It's called Be a Boss, Fire That Bitch. I love the title. What does that mean? I know what be a boss means, but
yeah, be a boss and fire that bitch.
Tell us.
Well, the subtitle is quiet your inner critic and finally believe you're good enough. So really that's the bitch you're firing, is your inner bitch voice. And actually, as you go through the journey, which is a very tactical, very practical process, step by step, I give you the action steps, the resources, everything that I did to do my 180, it's all in there. And it's laid out for you. And what's cool is by the end of it, you realize you're not actually firing your inner critic. You're making friends with it to better understand the messenger that's there. The messenger in the negative thoughts and emotions, the messenger that's in the stuff that gets triggered and pushed to the surface. Because now, as you go through this process in the book, you have the toolkit that I know I was missing when I was younger to actually process this stuff and learn the lessons so we can move forward.
So what are a couple tools in the toolkit of Be a Boss? Like, are these tools that you just came upon through your hard-earned experience? Are there tools there that you've learned from other coaches and mentors? Like, tell us a little bit about the tools and how you found them and what a couple of them are.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's the release your baggage chapter, which is all about the emotional processing. That's where I share my favorite resource, which is this write and burn release technique. And there's lots of people who have different variations on it. You know, when I say, hey, it's write and burn, people are like, oh, I remember doing something like that once, you know, at a retreat, or, you know, my therapist had me do it or something like that. And I kind of have my slightly tweaked version that I've adapted from quite a few other people, from books that I've read, mentors that I've worked with, and then I kind of create my own amalgamation of it. But that's my favorite. It's the favorite thing. It's like I have it as a free resource that I just give it away. And I'm like, look, my clients pay upwards of, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to work with me, depending on the program that we're in. And they'll always go back to that as their favorite tool. And I'm like, I just give it away for free because it's so powerful and everybody loves it because you get instant benefit. Instant
so tell benefit. Us, what is it? What is the write and burn technique? What do you write?
So you have a starter sentence of I feel in whatever the negative emotion is because. Mm-hmm. You know, and you start with the surface one, the one that you can articulate, like, I feel angry because, I feel frustrated because, I feel like a fraud because, whatever it is. But the key here is never saying, I am angry, because that's an identity thing, where emotions are something that we just experience and it's fleeting and it passes through. So it's an important piece to frame it correctly, that it's, I feel whatever it is. Not I am, because you are not your emotions. It's just something that you experience. And so that's a big piece just for, I mean, there might be people right now just being like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I was making my identity associated with my anger, my resentment, my trauma, my joy. And the reason I bring up the positive side is it's easy for us to go into toxic positivity. I see it all the time.
Tell us, what does that mean?
I went through that phase.
What does that mean, toxic positivity? Is that when you just slap a smiley face sticker on everything? And you
pretty much, yeah. Where there's no space in your world for negative thoughts and emotions. So we just push them to the side and ignore them to stay positive. Because no, I'm positive. I'm not negative anymore. But it's so toxic because we're basically rejecting half of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're not saying, well, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to feel guilt or shame or grief, right? Like all of these, there is value to those emotions and those experiences, and basically pretending that they don't exist is just as hurtful as staying on the opposite end in that negative space all the time. So
going back, I love that. Going back to this exercise, I feel emotion because, for example,
and then you just free write. Okay. This is your time to dump without editing, without judgment. You just go to town. This is not the time to be rational. This is the space where I'm like, I feel angry at my husband because, and I can finger point and I can judge and I can criticize. And this is the space to just, you word vomit it all onto the
paper. Get it all out.
Get it all out, right? And what's interesting as you do it, and I always recommend do it for at least 10 minutes and just focus on what you're feeling today. We don't have to go right to the biggest trauma we experienced as a child. Like, that's what makes it overwhelming. If we're like, oh my God, I don't want to do it. Because we think we've got to go, you know, go right into the big stuff. And I'm like, no, hold on. No one has died doing this exercise. No one has spontaneously combusted. I promise you, it is a safe thing to do.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's okay to access these parts of ourselves. But the key is, this is the place to just dump. And then you get it out. And the magic is then you go back there and you read it. And that's where you instantly disconnect the trigger, because now you're in observer mode, right? Every therapist, every coach, every mentor, they're always wanting us to be able to separate ourselves from the emotional trigger, from being in the experience. Because if we're in it, we're functioning as that old wounded self, right? So 6-year-old me or angry 16-year-old me or whatever is the one that's functioning. Whereas as soon as we become the observer watching the movie, now we can actually make good decisions. Now we can actually see the experience for what it is, which is a teaching tool. So yeah. When we go back through and read it, not only do we get to disconnect emotionally from the trigger, now we get to be the observer and learn the lessons, because we have this amazing capacity to hold on to the entire experience of something, even if only 1% of it is of value. So I could go through this whole big traumatic thing and I'll hold on to all of it, even though there's one beautiful gold nugget lesson in there. This is our opportunity to keep the gold nugget lesson and let the rest of that stuff go.
So who do they read it to? A trusted friend?
Nobody ever sees this. We do not need that negativity to go on to anybody else.
They read it out loud or they just write it?
If you are private, if you're in private, yes, you would read it out loud to yourself. And if you're not in private, you just read it to yourself. And this is why it's write and burn. You destroy that bitch. When you are done, you destroy it. So nobody gets that negative energy on them. Nobody. This is not write a letter to somebody and send it. No.
That's opposite.
Just for you. This is just for you to get it out.
Body.
Yeah. Get it out. Yeah. We don't want that going on anybody else, because that's most of us. Our only release is dumping on other people, right? That's what we do. And that's just taking whatever we're feeling. Now we're projecting it onto somebody else, and that's not helpful.
Yes. That's not helpful.
Yeah. We're just perpetuating the cycle if we dump that on somebody else. And usually it's our spouse or our kids. So
when you're burning it, do you say like, goodbye, I'm sending you to the boundaries?
There is a whole mantra and a process. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I can definitely give you the link to get that free download if anybody wants that full mantra. It's amazing. And of course, that also comes with the free resources with the book as well. So, but it is, basically you just go through a release mantra. And then you are thanking yourself for the release. You absolutely go through forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then the most important thing, and this is a missing piece for a lot of people, is shifting back into gratitude. Mm-hmm. So we fill it. So we release this. Now we have this empty space. What do you fill it with? Immediately filling it with something positive like gratitude. So, yep.
I think forgiveness is the salve of all human woes. And I'm an abundance coach. So when people are not experiencing the abundance they want, I ask them, where is there a resentment? Where is there a grudge? Where is there unforgiveness? And some people aren't even aware that they still do have a grudge against someone from many years ago. And I think this exercise and other exercises to forgive are just, they're so helpful.
They are. They are. We carry so much baggage and burden. And that ends up fueling so many of our unhealthy habits from this place of defensiveness or self-protection, because we don't have those tools to function in a really healthy way with healthy boundaries. We just have all of that emotion and all of that stuff to keep the walls up.
I want to go back to your book. How do you make friends with your inner critic? Because I think everybody has a voice, you know, a judgmental voice. You could call it ego, saboteur. There's all different ways to describe this voice. But why is making friends with it so important to you?
Well, I mean, how many times has that inner voice affected your performance? Right. How many times has that inner voice caused you to procrastinate or not, you know, do things because it's not perfect, or finish things because it's not perfect? You know, all of those ways in which we manage to get in our own way very subtly, you know, and keep in mind that that inner voice is a symptom, not the problem. The root is actually the relationship we have with ourselves. And at the end of the day, that's what this journey is about. Is that was the one relationship in my life I never nurtured.
Yeah.
The one with myself. I didn't know that that's a thing. And so I had no esteem. I had no confidence. I had all these inner worthiness wounds that I was constantly searching for something external to fill it. And so once I learned to build this relationship with myself, that's one of the symptoms that changed.
So
instead of the critical voice, right now it's, oh, it's a nurturing voice, or it's an observer voice of like, oh, isn't that interesting? You're saying something shitty to yourself right now. Like, what's really going on? So let's use our tools.
How do we change that voice from inner dialogue from criticism to self-compassion?
Well, I think there's always going to be a certain amount of not always negative perspective or critical or whatever it is, because we know our own full picture. Mm-hmm. You know, we know the goals we're working towards. We know the actions we're taking or not taking. So it's a way easier to kind of be a little squirrely in the positive, negative flip-flopping internally. So really, as I built the relationship with myself, it was a learning, oh, I am actually building a dialogue with myself. I'm learning to pay attention to all of these things and not always getting wrapped up into the fleeting moment-to-moment stuff, right? So allowing myself to become the observer of self.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, something good can happen. Something negative might happen. And so even if I say something critical to myself, it's okay, because I can be like, oh, okay, isn't that interesting? Getting a little, you know, say, that's not really nice. So now I get to use that as that indicator something's off. So now I get to say, okay, messenger, what's the message? And use the tools to decipher what really is happening. Because we go through all of our stuff. And it's interesting because we just don't always give ourselves that time and space to really look, you know, behind the curtain, like what's really happening.
Well, you are a decorated Army veteran. How would you define the word hero?
So hero.
Shiro. Maybe it should be Shiro.
Hero. It's all the same, right?
I'm just to shut the window. I don't want the Zoom to pick up lawn stuff, but I'm listening, and our listeners on Instagram and iPod and everything are listening. So yeah, what does a hero mean to you?
So I feel like really the biggest heroes are the ones who lead by example. They've really dialed in their self-leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So they're completely unapologetic and completely unconditional. It doesn't matter what those external conditions are. They do not affect or influence their ability to show up as their full self. And what's amazing is in leading by example and showing up so fully, this is where they get to influence and impact those around them. And so they're driven by passion and purpose, a mission that's far bigger than themselves. But it really starts with each one being themselves so fully.
So what's your why?
My why? Yeah. Let's see. So I've got, you know, there's the external why, you know, the big why that is really about creating that impact of empowering amazing leaders around the world. I really feel like we're going through this paradigm shift in what it means to be a leader, to be a hero, to be an impactor in the ways that we can. And so the more of those people I help step into really more of their power, their purpose, their impact, their influence, right? It's just that beautiful ripple effect. And then the internal why for me is that is my driver for freedom and fulfillment. Mm. Like that, the stuff that's just innately me. I'm like, I want to exist in a state of just effortless flow. And I always tell people effortless still requires effort. So it doesn't mean like I'm not out here still hustling and grinding and doing this stuff, right? It's just things no longer feel hard. And so that's my personal why, is getting to that state of just this freedom and fulfillment and things just feeling effortless as much as possible. And then I know that I'm able to dial both of those in and that actually work together, which is just magical.
That is my intention, ease and flow. Because when we're in ease and flow, there's freedom. There's freedom from emotional turmoil and mental garbage. And you're not snagged by, you know, the society's like underlying current of constant fear, doubt, and worry. And what are people thinking about? What I'm thinking about them? What are they thinking about me? What's going to happen with the recession? You know, ease and flow is the absolute goal for me as well, because I like freedom. Mm-hmm. I want fun and freedom in my life. So tell us, is that why your training program and your coaching community is called Influential? And what does influential, what does it mean to be influential?
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes, absolutely. It is. It's that, it's focus, it's flow, it's effortless ease and freedom and fulfillment. Absolutely. When we are super dialed in with self, right, the rest becomes so easy. Our ability to impact in that much greater scale just becomes so simple and aligned. And, you know, all of the amazing opportunities start coming in. We're able to curate this, a phenomenal community, because success is not a solo sport. We need others, but we've got to have our stuff dialed in to be able to show up fully for this co-creative experience called life.
I love it. So when we're influential, things are also, we are taking action and we are, you know, moving toward our goals and dreams, but things are also being magnetized to us.
Absolutely. It is very, very much activating that abundance, activating the flow. Influential, I always describe as this highest form of leadership, right? So if you've got your conscious leadership and your somatic leadership and your visionary leadership and influential leadership all dialed in, like the pinnacle of this hierarchy is influential, because it's just who we are being that is allowing us to impact the world. It's not being a leader. It's like, no, you're being yourself. You just happen to be leading those around you by being this most amazing, aligned, authentic you. It is having all of that balance, the boundaries, shifting those beliefs, and having this unapologetic authenticity and this beautiful confidence that elevates and inspires others to their greatness. And again, this is effortless because it's just who you're being.
So it's who you're being in flow, not necessarily mm-hmm. what you're doing, that is creating leadership and inspiring other people. Mm-hmm. So The topic of this podcast is how to survive and thrive during a crisis. Why don't we end with that question? Do you have any tips, tools, or strategies? Because a lot of people think we're in a recession. So what advice do you have?
So, you know, it's everything always goes back to control. Mm-hmm. The more we focus on what we actually have control over, the less we're affected by all of those other things, all of those external influences, AKA conditions. Mm-hmm. And the more you focus on being in control of you, your thoughts, your energy, your actions, what you do, what you say, you know, your goals, your vision, and respecting all of it, that's all the stuff, you know, being responsible for what is your responsibility and the letting go of all the rest of that stuff, you're absolutely going to create the world, the results, the impact that you want to make in the world, whatever it is. And it becomes impervious to what's happening around you. It's you just are unconditional. None of those external conditions come into play. So that's how I've been able to do everything. It's just the more chaos there is externally, the more I double down on what do I need to do for me to be my best and follow through with all the things that I want to do.
So if we are in a recession, or if it even gets worse, what advice would you give people who were scared about their finances, or, oh my God, I don't want to invest in myself. I don't want to invest in coaching. I don't want to invest in travel. I'm scared. I've got to, you know, save all my coins and hold them in the bank in case everything falls apart. What would you tell someone like that?
Well, I mean, if somebody's functioning in that space, it's kind of hard because they're not always open to receive when they're functioning in that much fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really fueling it, right? So, you know, for the people in my ecosystem, usually family, who are still very fear-based in how they think and how they function, cool, do you, right? I mean, you know, it's just like the same thing with my husband. I couldn't make him stop drinking. I couldn't make him quit smoking. I couldn't make him start working on himself. However, for those of us who are usually in a much more empowered space and yet are being some our old fear stuff, our old belief systems and programs are being triggered by this, and maybe some of that fear is coming up, it's okay. The thing is, rather than sitting in the suck with the fear, what do you do with it? Right. And that would kind of go back to utilizing a tool or a technique like the Write and Burn to better understand the message, right? Because it's a messenger telling you something. And the bulk of this is where you're going, there's no space for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. So we've got to process and release the things that are no longer serving us in order to step into being the version of ourselves we're called to be for that next level. So if what's happening externally right now is triggering some of that discomfort, some of that, the old junk that maybe you've been working to eliminate, heal, move away from, it's the opportunity to say, all right, new level, same devil, new situation and conditions. So it's okay to be, okay, all right, I see. This is triggering some of my old junk. So process it, release it, learn from it, because that next level you is right there waiting for you to step into being that. We've just got to clear out the BS that we're still cycling through, like fear, scarcity. I'm going to let that go. And then you can step into being her. The one you know, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can taste who you are called to be. You've just got to let go of those things that no longer serve so you can step into embodying that.
Do you believe in fake it till you make it?
No, not at all.
So if you can't be fearless, don't pretend that you are confident. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you can never fake confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, real confidence. You can't fake that. I feel like it's about being in a state of ownership. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a place, like if I'm on stage speaking to somebody, but I'm feeling some type of way, I own it and I share and I allow that to be part of the experience. I don't allow it to stop right. me from being or doing or having what it is. It's, I'm one who's like, this is about integrating all of it. Hence why when we were talking about, right, like that's like half of ourselves if we just pretend we don't have the negative thoughts and feelings, right? That's
toxic positivity.
Yes, exactly. So the more we integrate and own that we feel that way without judgment, mm-hmm. there's the caveat, right? Like without judgment, like it's okay to feel the fear and still do it anyway.
Right.
And own the fact that we feel it. And then give ourselves the time and space to learn what we need to learn about that coming up.
So if you were speaking and you were really nervous, you would say, I'm so nervous to be speaking today, but I'm so excited about the information I'm going to share. And you wouldn't pretend that you were not nervous. You would just say it and then go on with your speech.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to the place where I never define it as nervous because nervous right. and excited, right? It's the same experience, anxiety and excitement. It's exactly the same. It's just the story we tell ourselves. So I've gotten good at the storylines.
Yes, change your stories that you tell mm-hmm. yourself. So yeah. I know you're throwing an event that can help people change their stories and get into this influential mindset. So tell us about the event that you have coming up.
Absolutely. It's the Freedom Summit, Influential Freedom Summit. It is November 10th and 11th, live in person here in Tampa, Florida, where I am. And what is amazing is our speaker lineup over the 2 days. It's all self-leadership, self-mastery, personal brand, accessing and activating your voice, right? It's all around stepping into the identity of the leader you're called to be, because freedom, my dear, is an inside job first. Because I see so many people that have the financial freedom. Technically, they've got the time and geographic freedom, and yet they've created another prison where they're still completely controlled by their calendar. And so at the end of the day, they're burned out, maxed out, out of control. So we've talked a lot today, right, about the emotional baggage. If we're carrying that burden, we're not free.
Right. So it's called the Freedom Summit.
Mm-hmm. Influential Freedom Summit.
I love it. So if you guys are interested in getting more information, go to the show notes. She's also going to give you her contact information in case people are listening and they're not in the show notes. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. StacyRaske.com is the central hub for all things Stacy Raske. And then on any of the social platforms, you can just search my name and I come up. So thankfully I have a nice unique name.
Where can people find your book?
Amazon. You can search Stacy Raske or Be a Boss and Fire That Bitch.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Stacy, for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. You've given us so many tools to go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we met through a wonderful mutual friend, Alex Gonzalez, that I met on Clubhouse. And I would like to say that we met through being in flow-ential, just being in flow and being open. And like when someone wants to introduce you to someone, you just say yes. And it's just amazing who you meet. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, I would be so thrilled, and so would Stacy, if you would just take a screenshot, tag us in stories, we'll reshare. We would love it if you share this with a friend. Maybe you know someone who is really scared about the up and coming recession, or as it's described to be, an up and coming recession. Maybe they're going through another crisis in their personal life or in their health, and they would be very benefited by hearing this podcast. Go ahead and just copy and paste the link And if you want to just give us a 5-star review and subscribe, that would mean so much to me. This is a grassroots podcast, and we get our listeners not through advertisement, but through one person tapping the other one on the shoulder going, hey, I think this will really help you. So I really appreciate your time today, Stacey, on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And listeners, thank you for listening. I love you so much. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all 7 aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Like